feel a little guilty standing here because Brother Paul was so happy not to. I do appreciate the opportunity, and pray the Lord bless us. I've always enjoyed being last. No matter how bad my preaching is, you'll be glad when it's finished, so we all go home. Let me put foolishness aside. I think that, and y'all can disagree with this, and that's all right. I think it's okay to be a little humorous in the stand, as long as the humor applies to the sermon.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
If it gets people's attention, if it has something to do with the point you're trying to make.
Right.
But humor for the sake of humor is ill-placed. I think at this point, after lunch on a Saturday, we need to be kept awake. But I do desire your prayers, if the Lord would permit this afternoon, for a few minutes that we have, and I'll be mindful of that. Turn to the 16th chapter of Luke. There was a statement made about one of God's children here in this chapter that just sort of resonated with me a little bit a week or so ago. And I tried to speak on this at home. I trust the Lord will bless it this afternoon. But this is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And I want to read just part of it. And I'm not planning on being deep, theological, scholarly this afternoon. I just want to make a couple good points that we can find some comfort in. You know, the Lord's interested in our joy. He said in a couple places, "These things write unto you that your joy might be full." And I find no further joy than what the Lord has in His Word concerning what He's done for us. And the condition that we were in before God. And I do believe that every sermon that's been preached today is connected, because they all came out of the same book and had the same author. So our subjects may be a little different from time to time, but if we look at them, it's always amazed me, and I'll be thinking about a verse of Scripture or a subject one day of the week, and the next day something else, and then I well, how do those two fit together? And then when Sunday comes, the Lord shows me how they fit together, which wasn't me. If the church really knew how little I did in the preaching, and I'm very careful, try not to, you know, you just don't say thanks when people say good sermon, you know, because you can't take any credit for it. So I'm very careful. You know, I've got a couple of phrases. Well, God bless you. I appreciate the encouragement. Glad you enjoyed it. But you can't say thanks because you didn't do anything. But all of these sermons today have fit together, and I trust this one will fit in there also somewhere to God's glory and your benefit. Let's read just a few verses in the 16th chapter of Luke, and we'll get to the place that want to say something that makes a statement about Lazarus here. But pay attention to the condition that these two men are in. The 19th verse, it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Now we see two men here, and it doesn't tell us anything about their character, anything about their spiritual nature. It just tells us what position they're in life.
Right.
We have one who has great wealth. He has a lot of stuff. And he must own a nice house. It's got a gate. And then we see another man who's laying at that gate, who has nothing. He just wants to eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And more than that, he is physically afflicted in his flesh. He has a lot of sores. And the dogs are coming up. The Bible is very plain there. It says, licks his sores. And so if I were to ask you this afternoon, or just anyone, and describe this picture and say, well, which one did you want to be? And you would say, you know, you're like me. I want to live in a nice house. I want to fare sumptuously. Certainly don't want to be hungry or sitting outside in the weather, in the cold, and we want to be like the rich man. But something happens to both of these men, and the picture changes drastically for the condition that they're in. And so remembering the question, which one do you want to be, we'll paint a new picture based on the change that's about to take place. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. All right? Something happened, and the picture changes. Now we find that the rich man is in hell. He is tormented by the flame that is described here.
Right.
I tell you what, you know, if you don't understand something, you're always safe sticking to exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
You know,
right.
I may not understand this flame and what's going to happen and all that, but it says that, so there's some
right.
torment there.
Amen.
Yeah. But then we have Lazarus, who is carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. Brother, I'm telling you, this isn't the same place that the rich man's at.
All right.
Now, based on this, which one do you want to be? Hmm. Well, you know, we want to be at peace. We want to be in the bosom of Abraham.
That's right.
We want to be comforted. And we want to be where Lazarus is. I want to be Lazarus.
Right.
So we have a different picture here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the statement that sort of prompted my thinking here. In the 25th verse, he says, But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. In Lazarus' lifetime, he received evil things.
Right.
Yeah, we understand that Lazarus is a child of God. Surely he must be.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, what better depiction of what happened to Lazarus after death than what a child of God is going to receive?
Right.
Okay. But in his lifetime, he received evil things. Right, I couldn't help but think about that. The suffering that he had in his lifetime. Now, if we want to learn about suffering, we need to go ask Brother Job.
Right. Yeah.
He can tell us a whole lot about suffering. But I learned a long time ago, I can't preach every point there is on a subject in a short amount of time that I have.
Right.
So there's a lot we have to leave out of some sermons. There's another verse of Scripture if you want to go over into chapter 6 of Matthew. And there's a part of this story here that I've never really focused on in the telling of this story. All right, so we get over to chapter 6 in Matthew. And Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about how God clothed the grass of the field and Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and how they toil not, neither do they spin. If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So I've always preached this and talked about this because I really need this. Sometimes you ask a preacher, why are you preaching on this subject so much? It may not be because you need it. It may be because he needs it. He's reminding himself over and over. But if you get down to the end of this, this part of this chapter is talking about trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
If the Lord will take care of the grass, is He not going to take care of you?
Right.
If He takes care of the birds, if He takes care of the animals, if He takes care of the lily of the valley, will He not much more take care of you?
Yeah.
And don't give thought for those things. The Lord knows you had need of all those things. And so I've always focused on this from the standpoint of, we just need to have faith. I believe, you know, I've never worried about my eternal salvation.
Right.
It has never bothered me.
Amen.
Even in the worst of times, I have gone to bed every night knowing, and I say that not with all arrogance.
Right.
But, you know, the Bible says we know we pass from death unto life, we love the brethren.
Right.
There's a knowing.
Yes, sir.
Now I've never opened the Lamb's Book of Life and read the names thereon. I can't do that.
Right.
But it's never worried me that my name's not there.
Right.
But I'll worry about how to pay the light bill next week.
Right.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Right. I'll worry about if I've got enough gas to get to work tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah.
That we don't worry about the grave things of eternity because we know God can take care of those. But we just don't think God put a little gas in our car and get us to the station, do we? Somebody asked me one time, is it wrong to pray that for my car? I said, brother, if that's on your mind and you're worried about it, you need to pray about it. I've gotten my car many times. Lord, please let this car start. Now, my dad was a mechanic, so that tells you how bad my cars were. I drove one to junior college that I parked as far off campus as I could because I didn't want people to see it. And to start it, you had to lay down on the ground under it and take a screwdriver that's about this long and pry the starter into the flywheel, get back in the car, and you had one shot. Or you had to get out and lay back down on the ground again. You know, if you need to pray about it, pray about it. Because if it's grieving you, I trust it's grieving the Lord.
Right.
But there's a verse here at the end of this. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things shall be added unto you. Now I know that doesn't mean that I'll never have to put another drop of gas in my car. God's always going to have the tank full.
Right.
You know, we have to live our lives. God didn't foreordain every little event and predestinate every little event. He set the world in motion. He providentially intercedes when it pleases Him to do that. But we deal with the consequences of a world in sin every day. And sometimes people ask me, you know, why is this happening? I'm visiting with somebody that's sick and suffering, and they'll say, well, She's such a good woman. Why is this happening? She always did this and that. She loved the church and loved the Lord. Why is this happening? And my answer is, well, it's sin.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
Of course, folks don't want to hear that when they're standing over the deathbed of their mother and she's passing and she's suffering. Why is she suffering? It's sin.
Amen. That's right.
You know, don't focus on the suffering. Focus on where she's going when she passes. But my answer to all trouble questions like that is sin.
Yes.
Sin causes all the evil in the world.
That's right.
But then Jesus says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what that's saying? It's saying there's enough evil in the world already. You don't need to add to it. And in my worrying about food and shelter tomorrow, that's an evil thing. That means I'm not trusting in the Lord. Somebody says, what's the last evil thing you did? Well, it's probably I just didn't trust in the Lord like I should have. You know, we're thinking, well, I murdered somebody or I committed some grievous sin and embezzled somebody's retirement. You know, my last evil was I just didn't trust in the Lord enough. I didn't trust in the Lord when I stood up to preach because I didn't think I was going to be able to. I didn't trust in the Lord when I went out to do something or He called me to go somewhere and didn't tell me what it was going to be like there. He just simply said, go. Evil is much more present in people's lives than they think it is.
Right.
And sin is much more present in people's lives than they think it is. And you got some of those folks that say, well, I never sinned. Brother, you just did. You just did.
Amen, brother.
And so sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. There is evil in the world. There's evil in our lives. We deal with it and face it every day. And so Lazarus had a lot of evil in his life. It wasn't necessarily things that he did, but because of sin, he had to live under some circumstances.
Right.
But you know what? He's a child of God.
Yeah, right.
God loves him. Well, if God loved him so much, how could he let this happen? Let's be careful what we attribute to God.
Right. Amen.
If God didn't love him, he wouldn't have anything to do with him.
Amen.
So now we see Lazarus in this blessed condition. The 8th chapter of Romans has a verse I've always loved. The Apostle Paul here in the 8th chapter of Romans and the 18th verse.
Yeah.
Y'all trust y'all know where I'm going. He says, for I reckon. I used to think Paul was a good old country boy. But you know what? He's an accountant.
That's right. Yes,
that's right.
He's adding up some things.
Hey, yes, sir.
So if you're reckoning, that means you're counting up a list of things. I used to try to list a few things too, Brother Chris. When I first started trying to preach, I had a list of all the folks I baptized, all the folks I married, and all the folks I buried. And somewhere along the way, I quit counting those things, and that list has been incomplete for years. But I remember Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we don't need to worry about how many folks we baptized.
Amen. That's right, right?
That's right, brother. And, you know, you may have a long list of folks that you married. But if you go back and scratch off all the divorce folks, it's going to be a little bit smaller. The only thing I joy in is, you know, this sounds strange, but a funeral. Because the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. When you're standing over some dear old saint that you know is standing in the presence of God as you stand over them, that's a rejoiceful time.
Amen.
But the Apostle Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you, like me, many times sit down and make lists of all your sufferings. Especially when you're talking to other folks. Well, last Monday the car broke down, and last Tuesday the dishwasher blew up, and last Thursday the kids had fevers, and last Friday, and you got this list of all the sufferings that you've experienced. You know, we dwell upon the things we write down. Let's write down the blessings.
Amen.
If Paul is reckoning, not only did he reckon the number of sufferings, but he reckoned the glory.
Yes.
Now, you can't count up the glory. It's innumerable.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
But to say that the blessings of God, which are eternal, certainly outweigh the bad things, the sufferings, the evils that are timely.
That's right.
So Lazarus may have lived a long life at the gate of the rich man, but he's going to live a whole lot longer in the bosom of Abraham.
Amen, right?
That's eternal.
Amen.
For I reckon that the sufferings are not worthy to be compared. So now he just throws the numbers out. Let's not even consider numbers, but focus on the eternal blessings that God has for us.
Yeah.
And that can be hard to do when somebody is cast down. That can be hard to do when somebody's standing over their loved one who's suffering. And you're wanting them to see a bigger picture than what they're looking at right then. Because all we see most of the time in our lives are just the little puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
But God sees the whole puzzle put together fitly and framed by His grace.
Amen.
I appreciate the saints of God that stand for righteousness.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter, who is 14... she's in an English class, and the assignment was to write an argumentative essay and to defend your position. And so this week her essay was, basically it was, why everybody that Jesus died for is going to heaven. And she stayed up nights. We looked up verses, and she looked up verses, and I knew what was coming. I wasn't naive. She gave her read her essay and defended it, and everybody in her class now hates her because they're all Arminian. And she said, "Daddy, they just I tried to tell them there's more than one salvation." I said, "Baby, they may not get it. They're not going to get any of that unless the Lord gives them the light to see that. But, you know, one of these days, somebody may remember you said something. And the kids may not remember, but the teacher was a little more interested in it. He's some preacher of some other denomination."
Right.
You know, my hope is one day he might say, "Mr. Owens, I want to talk to you about this."
Yeah.
But she was very discouraged. And I read this verse to her that we don't even need to focus on that.
Amen.
Right. I remember on one occasion the apostles were beaten for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they rejoiced in that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name.
Right.
Our suffering is but just a small speck of time in an eternity that doesn't even have time to limit it.
That's right.
And certainly doesn't compare with the suffering of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also."
Yeah.
Father, what a wondrous thing to rejoice in. That they're treating us just like they treated our Savior.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
And one day God's going to treat us. He is now. But in the resurrection, He'll treat us just like He did His Son.
Amen.
This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
And when Jesus came out of that tomb and God rejoiced in it, He received Him into heaven, having finished the work of salvation. And He'll receive us as joint heirs of Christ.
Amen.
Into that same presence of His, because of the finished work of salvation. Oh, that our eyes would just turn away from our sufferings now and focus upon the resurrection of Christ. That His grace is sufficient for us in all things, whatever it is. I tell you, brethren, the older I get, the more I hate sin.
Amen.
I despise to be around it. That's one of the benefits of coming to the meeting house with the Lord's people.
Amen.
You are assembled with folks of like mind,
right,
and like desires, and a hope in Christ that cannot be quenched by those timely flames that sometimes come upon us. I appreciate your attention this afternoon. Appreciate your fellowship with this association of godly people, and pray that that will continue. Come ahead, Brother Moderator.